Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio. I'm Phil Nee. We have some great guests in the studio representing the Richland School District. Emily Dolan is here, Director of Marketing and Communications. Sherry Johnson, Director of Curriculum and Instruction. And Miranda Culver, High School Counselor, here today with us. Some great things going on in the district, including the Richland Center Intermediate School's St. Patrick's Day 5K Run Walk going on tonight, getting underway at 4:30 with registration. The walk at 5, 5:20 the run. It'll benefit Lance Maloney Scholarship Program and the Southwest Community Players as well. Emily, that's a cool event tonight, isn't it?
That is. I attended last year. I was recording the timings last year, and it was freezing last year. So we're really excited to have nice weather today for that event. It's, you know, the teachers are so enthusiastic. Everyone putting it on. Great group of staff and parents that work on that. And looking forward to it. I'll be walking this year.
Awesome. Yeah, we thought about that earlier in the week because your temperature, the big thing is it's going to be dry tonight too, isn't it?
Yes, it was. We were a little worried about rain, but it's looking good. And last year it was super, super windy and about 18 degrees. And so this year we're looking for nice blue skies and a great, great event.
I know you've been getting the word about referendums. Anything you'd like to add this morning in the morning show here?
We have. We just want to remind people to vote April 2nd. And we have two questions on the ballot this year, both operational and a capital. The operational one is for a non-recurring expense that would support operations over the next 4 years in the district. And that one has no tax increase. And the question two, that's for a 20-year bond that would address some of our priority facility needs. And that one does have a tax increase, and you can find more information on our district website. And we have a specific referendum website, too, at richland.referendumfacts.org.
You have some videos, I understand, as well?
We do. We've been releasing one video a week for the last 3 weeks. We have one more coming next week. But we just released our most recent video last night. So we're really excited about it. That one focuses on the facilities and maintenance. Some of the other ones focus on different topics that we hope to address with the referendum.
Okay. And that is coming up. You have screening as well next week?
We do.
We talked about that last time, but that's going to be a busy week too, isn't it?
Yes, it's a lot of busy weeks here, and then spring break. Everybody gets a little bit of a relief there. But we have invited families to attend our early childhood and 4K screening. It's a great opportunity to meet the teachers, to get a feel for the classrooms, get to see the classrooms. Our students will also walk away with goodie bags that include, I think, seven books and little bags with the Hornet on them. And so it's a great opportunity to ask questions too and help understand where the students are at when they're coming into the classroom in the fall.
That's an exciting time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, and I can't believe it, we're down to what? When does the fourth quarter start?
In just a couple weeks, right after spring break, okay. The fourth quarter starts. So I know Miranda will talk later about, we're already doing planning for next year as far as student schedules even. And so we're really excited about that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Why don't we bring Miranda on? Miranda, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a real puzzle to try and get all those classes together for next year, I'm sure, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a puzzle, but it's a great process working with students starting even as young as sixth grade. Starting at the intermediate school, we start working with students on their college and career planning. And sixth grade just seems so young, but they're ready to just start focusing on areas that they enjoy, but areas that maybe can be a career path one day. So we're working with students right now. I'm doing our course request in the 7 through 12 building a little bit different than in previous years. We're meeting with students, and then parents also have access to look on Zello and look at the course requests that students are choosing for next year. And we hope to have schedules done and out by the time that the school year ends, so a little bit earlier, so students can kind of know what they'll be taking next year and have that plan in place.
For those class requests and things like that, is there a deadline when the students have to have all of those in then?
So we're hoping to have it done, by the end of next week, by March 22nd. The students are working with myself and Mrs. Lemke in our counselor office to get those requests in. And I'm really looking at those college and career pathways, especially once they get through the to the 9-12 parts of their journey, really focused on where they're going to go after high school, whether it be the workforce or a technical school path or to a four-year college. And we want students set up and ready to go on that pathway.
Courses and the course list has changed a little bit over the years, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we're so fortunate. In our building, we have... we have 11 advanced placement courses, so those courses, if students take the college board exam, can get college credit for those courses. Richland Center, for just being a smaller town, we match right up with some of the districts outside some of the bigger areas in Wisconsin, having that fortunate option. We also have dual credit courses. We have 4 of those that run right now in conjunction with Southwest Tech in our business department, that students can take the class and then they are awarded college credit through Southwest Tech. So it's just an excellent way for students that are on a college, either technical college or four-year college pathway, to get some of those credits while they're in our building.
Isn't it amazing how much of a jump they can get now on college while in high school?
Yeah, it's amazing. Really, any student that wants to should be able to either go through those AP classes, those dual credit classes. We also just finished up our deadline. March 1st was the deadline for students to take either Start College Now classes, College Up classes, or ECCP classes through the UW systems. Students do their requests by March 1st for the fall term, and then by October 1st for the spring semester. And if students, if they've kind of maxed out in the classes they can take in the building, they can start taking some of those college classes or classes for their pathway outside of school.
Some classes, I'm sure, kind of fill up a little bit. Is it first come, first serve? Do the seniors get priorities, or how does that work?
So we do prioritize, obviously, by grade level and need for graduation pathways. And it's just interesting to see those AP classes are always popular, but the technical school classes, our shop classes, our art classes are also just big favorites with students. So.
Some of those hands-on opportunities, those are exciting, and every student is different in their likes and their abilities too, right?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Sherry Johnson is here as well, Director of Curriculum and Instruction. Sherry, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Kind of give us a little job description of what your job and your title is.
That is a moving target sometimes. It depends on the time of the year, but truly... a big part of my position is helping adopt curriculum and making sure we have the resources in alignment with Wisconsin state standards so that we can ensure students are being exposed and are able to master all the things that the state says they need to. And the other big part of my job is what people call the DAC, which is the District Assessment Coordinator. And so we are in the heart of state assessment season right now. And so we finished access testing with our English language learners in the winter, and now we enter into the season where 3rd through 11th grade all test in the whole state.
Is that right?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes. So we have the forward exam, which is for 3rd through 8th grade in English, math, reading, and social studies. Science, too. Sorry, all of a sudden I'm doubting myself. And then... in 10th grade, they do the pre-ACT, but they do a section of the forward also of social studies. And then 9th, 10th, and 11th do either pre-ACT or ACT.
Okay.
And that's a sit down and take the whole test at once test. It's a big one. It's students have a lot of learning that they've done over the year, and we're asking them to sit at one sitting and regurgitate it all. So not that it's my favorite way to gather data, but it's one way. And so we use it as one way to help us understand what students know and need to know and how to help us direct how to support student learning in the coming years.
ACT, is that as important as it used to be? Because that used to be the top thing.
It's we try to make every test important, but it used to be that's what you had to do to go to college. Mm-hmm. And through COVID, they changed some of those rules, but it sounds like they're kind of swinging back, not requiring it, but requesting it. And so it's still something that students take seriously, the ones who maybe want to do something with education outside of high school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's going on right now. You know, as far as preparing students for outside the school and, you know, after education, what are some things the district does in terms of that?
We have a lot of opportunities for those things. The one I can speak closest to is our partner school. That is our alternative charter school. And those students are learning lots of skills to get them college and career ready. And a big part of their time in partner school is working. They either find job shadowing situations, or they can do short-term placements where they can learn different vocations and work with different community people that are so kind to provide their time and energy into our students. And then there's also students who just get full-on jobs where they can all afternoon work. Their morning time is spent preparing them for that work and in ways that aligns to the state standards. So if they want to do an activity that they need some math credit, but they really want to look at how to build something, they, of course, can use measurement. And so we can tie the standards to almost any activity that they're doing. They just have to do some of that legwork. So that's one way that we prep our partner students. Other ways that we're prepping students is just in general, the state of Wisconsin is requesting that educators are utilizing that language in the classroom. So we're going to do this today. You know, like you, I'll use math in a geometry class. The reason we're going to work on area today is because if you should ever want to become a this, that, or the other, whether it's an engineer or an architect, or if you want to start become a contractor, or you want to lay carpet, or anything, you know, those types of things, you need to understand how to figure out area. And so that helps students understand the purpose of some of what they're learning. Because how many times have we heard a student say, "Why do we have to do this?" Or maybe that was just you, Phil. But
I said it.
trying to help kids apply what they learn to maybe what their future might look like. It's really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then we also have youth apprenticeship, which Miranda's probably going to touch on too. It's a fantastic program that we have where we work with a lot of our community partners again, as well as some of our technical school and CESA, where we find placement for students. And there's a lot of requirements and expectations of those students. It's really a very well-established program, and it provides kids who are very ready for time outside of high school. And though it sounds a little daunting for students, I think once they get through it and through the process of getting started, they feel a lot better understanding what it is. Initially, they kind of hear some of the information and they're like, "Oh my gosh, no, I can't do that." But they can. I think they're all capable. We have amazing kids. So we are so blessed.
Miranda, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, I would love to talk about our youth apprenticeship program. We work with so many wonderful community members and businesses that work with students and allow students to come into their businesses and work. It focuses on 16 career clusters. So if any career really you can think of, there is an opportunity or a way to do that. Students can start their junior year of high school doing the youth apprenticeship program. They have to earn 450 hours their first year, and then if they want to continue the program their senior year, they can earn up to 900 hours outside of the school working during their senior year of high school. students also in conjunction with the Youth Apprenticeship Program. The Youth Apprenticeship Program funds students to take college classes or take courses. So we'll have a lot of students going into the construction pathway, for example, doing OSHA safety courses, or we're working with a student right now who's going to get his CDL. So it really makes students career ready when they are leaving high school.
Very hireable then, too, aren't they?
Yeah, more hireable than other students, perhaps, that didn't do that program.
Do some of those businesses then pay for schooling then, or help out in those regards?
The businesses, some businesses do have that pathway, but through our partnership with CESA, CESA will fund students to take college classes or extra education while they're working.
It was the first year of the charter school partnering with that. I think overall, Sherry, it went pretty well, didn't it?
I think so, too. Yeah, we're busy kind of thinking of next year. We'll be expanding a little. We're not exactly sure how many spots yet. We're kind of figuring that out. Because the students who we currently have, as long as they're not graduating, they're staying. And so those are spots that are already then taken for next year. So we're working on getting the application ready so that I'm hoping to have the application ready so people can apply, start over spring break, and it should be open for several weeks after that. So we'll make sure and get that information out so families can put that application in. There is an interview process that we like to go through once they're selected. It's not used to exclude people. It's really just used for us to inform the family and student about what the program entails, and then for them to inform us on their goals and expectations also. So it's a really great way to kind of enter into the process.
I had the privilege of interviewing, I think, almost all of the students. They brought them to the studio, and I was just thoroughly impressed.
Yes.
You know, they all kind of have a vision and a goal, it seems like.
They are very impressive individuals. I've gotten to spend some time down there recently because of testing. But I did just hear this morning that they're making a delivery to the meat locker with more things for sale.
Okay, that's right. They're selling some of their products and whatnot. So could there be a waiting list again
for
that next year?
There will be a waiting list for sure. Yeah, we have 21 students on our waiting list currently. And some of those may have found other placements and not interested anymore because, you know, students are always looking for what's best for them and they need to maybe find it sooner than later. And a wait list might not be their best option at that time, but we like to put them on just to hold a spot in case. And we also have in the online academy, we have wait lists for that also. So students can try to find, that's the thing that I love about working with the Richland School District is we just really want to do what's best for all of our students. So we've even been tossing around some new ideas that I can't really speak to yet because they're just truly ideas, but we want to meet everybody's needs.
So in terms of the, if somebody's on the list for the charter school, you still have to get them signed up for classes at Richland Center High School too, don't you? Do you have to do both, Miranda?
We do. So if students are current students at the high school or looking to come into the school next year even, we do the list of course requests for students, just planning that they'll be back, but if they aren't, that's okay too.
I'm always impressed when I go to the awards assembly at the end of the year. I'm guessing right now that's pretty getting forward pretty hot right now, or have some of those deadlines already passed for scholarship applications?
Some have passed. There are a few community scholarships that are coming due still in April. And then our big local scholarship deadline with so many local donors that have given to students through the years, that's actually today. And so students have done an amazing job. We had a little different process this year. They're able to submit their information through a link on our website. So it's been all electronic. And they've done a great job. In addition, I know we've had quite a few students that have applied for the other community scholarships, some state scholarships, and then also the UW Foundation scholarship. That deadline has passed as well.
That's probably a large part of your job anymore is kind of being aware of what's out there, right?
Yeah, being aware of what's out there, always looking for new opportunities for students. It's amazing what students can do. If they put the time into applying for scholarships, it's almost, we kind of explain to them, it's almost like another whole class they're taking during their senior year to write those resumes or update those resumes and do those scholarship applications.
I know that there are some new ones every year. If someone is interested in maybe getting a scholarship toward a Richland Center student, what do they do?
So through the school district foundation, we do have an application. We also just have a application that community members can get through our counseling office at the high school if they're interested in starting a local scholarship. And yeah, we've had probably, I'd have to count, but at least 6 to 8 new scholarships just this school year. So people are definitely thinking about giving back to students and youth going off to college.
Wonderful. We'll talk more on the morning show coming up in a moment with members of the Richland School District staff, Emily Dolan, Sherry Johnson, and Miranda Culver on the morning show. Personnel for the Richland District on our guest list today for the morning show, WRCO, Emily Dolan, Director of Marketing and Communications. Emily, it's amazing the opportunities that students have coming out of Richland Center, isn't it?
It truly is, Phil. I came into this district a little over 2 years ago, and I'm originally from the suburbs of Chicago and came into this district not really sure what to expect as far as what the college credit opportunities would be like, and I was just blown away. I mean, it was amazing to me that we have students graduating from Richland Center High School every year who have an entire year of college credit. That's an entire year of savings that that they realize in those really expensive tuition costs going into schools, and you know, then you know, a whole extra year of earning money in the workforce following college, because many of those students then are doing college in 3 years. I think both of the children of my counterparts here in the office have had that, their students graduate with an entire year of college credit. And it is just amazing to me that there are so many opportunities in the district to really, you know, obtain those credits totally free of cost or at a marginal cost for the expense of those AP exams. And so I've just been so proud and excited to be a part of the district when we're able to prepare students in that way.
Yeah, I'm curious, at bigger districts, and you came from a more metropolitan area, are those opportunities available for them as much, or do you know?
You know, the area that I'm from, or the school that I came from, we only had, I want to say, 4 or 5 AP classes, whereas and college credit or dual credit opportunities. At Richland Center High School, they have, I think, 11 on the course book this year. That's just the AP and dual credit. There's also opportunities outside of that within the UW system, as Miranda mentioned earlier in the program, the Start College Now, the College Up programs where they can obtain credit. So to me, you know, there is almost an unlimited number of college credit opportunities for the students who are interested in taking them, and within a range of disciplines and interests. So it's, you know, it's not limited. At the time that I was in school, I feel like it was limited. You can take AP US History, you can take, you know, some math credits in AP, one science credit in AP, but that was AP English maybe, but that was pretty much it. And so there's a much bigger range of opportunities now. As Miranda mentioned, you know, we're sending students out of the high school with their CNA, with their CDL, with some OSHA certifications. And so even if students don't necessarily aren't going right to a college program, they might, or a four-year school, they are still coming out of high school with an advantage.
Having one of your children come through, Miranda, that had to be helpful, you know, kind of knowing the ropes a little bit and getting them ready for college too, wasn't it?
It's been beneficial. I will say that I've learned so much. I will be in this position 2 years at the end of this year in the district. And then also from my own child, he did teach me a lot. I can just say those college credit opportunities in the building, that's the, I would say, maybe the best way for a student to get started is try one of those AP courses or dual credit courses, see how they like it. And then when they know their pathway, we encourage students, when they have kind of maxed out of what we have in the building, to utilize those great other opportunities through Southwest Tech and UW systems to get those additional credits.
Have requirements changed? Because years and years ago, you know, to be eligible for college, you had to have 3 years of math and foreign language and all those kind of things. Is that changed in any way?
So the requirements through Southwest Tech or the technical system schools, students do have to be through their sophomore year of high school. Through the UW system, students have to have a certain GPA, and then they do have to have completed so much math through their time in the high school. So there are some requirements. Certainly those are looked at. There is an application process for students. We try to work with students and make sure before they would apply, like I said, they've kind of maxed out or done what they need to do with the courses in the district, and then to help them on their pathway where they want to go next.
We've talked a lot about getting ready for college and things, but Sherry, you're looking at all the classes through the entire district, aren't you?
Right. Yeah, we have currently the legislature in the state of Wisconsin has just passed something. Actually, it was in the last calendar year. It's called Act 20. Legislators are really concerned about reading in the state, and as you've probably heard all over the country, it's an epidemic that students aren't able to read, or they're not reading at grade level. And so our state has taken some action, and there's a whole bunch of things that we are now needing to improve upon. And so we are kind of in the heart of all that. It's involving teacher training and resource adoption and like plans for students who are struggling and assessments. There's additional assessments they're asking us to do and those types of things. So it's been really interesting with that portion of it. We're holding a lot of pilots right now. We have two reading pilots, two math pilots. We have a learning management system pilot. We're trying a lot of things. We're trying to really do our best for our students in the Richland District. And in doing that means change. And that's what my mom has always told me. I'm a third generation educator. And my mom said that the only thing that is consistent in education is change. Huh. It's guaranteed. So I've kind of taken that to heart. My position is really as a change maker. So I need to look at student data and staff data and try to meld all that information together and hopefully provide resources, supports, and time to help everybody do what we can best do to help students.
When you talk about a subject being a pilot, what does that mean?
It means that we don't make a full purchase, and companies let us try things out for a while. So sometimes they'll send us a little bit of a few resources in hand. A lot of it's been virtual anymore. You know, ever since COVID, everything is just virtual. And that's not always the best resource for students and staff, so we try to get things in hands too. And so our staff at the primary and intermediate buildings for this pilot, the elementary English and math, have been just phenomenal. We've got a ton of teachers who are putting in extra time learning new things, not even knowing if we're going to keep that resource, but they're doing it anyway. So hats off to them. I'm so thankful that we had people willing to try new things.
One of the keys probably is to try to embrace technology, but also, you know, old school when you're talking about reading and math skills, isn't it?
Yes, it's a fine line for sure. And we really have to pay attention to student, what's best for students' brains. I mean, there's studies out there showing that reading on a device versus reading on paper interacts with your brain differently. And so we really have to be cognizant of how much we use of either, because we know students like the screens, and as do I enjoy it too, but making sure we transition so that they aren't consistently doing screens for too long.
I know you've been getting books in their hands. How's the vending machine going? The book vending machine.
It's been going really well. Amy could probably speak better to that. She's not here today, but she is just so enamored with that opportunity. And as a mom, my daughter had that opportunity. Her birthday was just in February, and she had a blast. It's like nothing else, you know? Like, I'm always excited to get that Diet Pepsi out of the machine, but a book would be much better.
It'd be better for you, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Well, we talked about both of you having experience getting students ready for college, but maybe we can pose this to both of you about the role of parents and guardians in college and career readiness in that process, Sherry?
Right. Well, truly, we need parents to take an active role in all parts of a student's learning and their time with us. We want them to be a partner. And that goes for this also. There's some platforms they can help students utilize. There's also resources. There's things that I don't even know about that I'm trying to learn more about in our community that are available to families that will help them through these processes. I think that now that we're being so much more accessible, we are accessible to our community and our community is accessible to us, we're finding there's so much out there. So we really just need families to be transparent with us as we are trying to be transparent with them and let us know what they need when it comes to supporting their students. Because there are an exponential number of possible fields that a student could decide to do, and we can't possibly offer something for everyone within our confines, even though our teachers are really amazing. They could probably almost do it, but we really need to make sure to individualize it for those students.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment.
News time at 6:30 is sponsored by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies caring for you and about you, and sponsored by BL Signs. Today's forecast calls for gradual clearing, still quite cool, and a high of 36. Northwest winds at 7 to 14. Tonight, partly cloudy and breezy, a low of 26. This morning, after a low of 25, it is 26 degrees.
BL Signs of Richland Center has grown significantly, helping other businesses grow. In the last decade, businesses of all sizes have trusted the team at BL Signs, from developing ideas to get started, to creation, installation, and reliable service afterward. BL Signs' promise of projects done well, done on time, and done on budget comes with the experience and knowledge to turn your sign into one of your most important investments. Visit BL Signs of Richland Center online at blsignage.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. A bill allowing early processing of absentee balloting was one of many that failed to pass the state Senate this session. The measure would have primarily benefited the state's biggest city. Republicans have long liked to complain about the process in Milwaukee. Governor Tony Evers said it would have laid to rest a lot of false claims about late-night drops of absentee ballots in Milwaukee and called the Senate failure to pass it ridiculous. The bill passed the Assembly with bipartisan support, and Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu was a Senate co-sponsor. But on WISN's Up Front, he said Milwaukee will need to try harder. He said other cities that use central count like Milwaukee does hire enough employees on to get their ballots counted on time. The Senate adjourned last week without voting on more than 100 bills the Assembly passed. A woman is dead and one man injured after a utility terrain vehicle rolled over early Sunday morning in rural Sparta. At approximately 12:13 a.m., Monroe County Sheriff's deputies responded to the scene of the rollover crash. The UTV was traveling east on Janice Avenue in the township of Wells. The UTV left the roadway and overturned, ejecting a female passenger from the UTV. Deputies and EMS attempted life-saving measures, but she was pronounced deceased on scene. The male driver was transported to the hospital for his injuries. Alcohol is suspected to be a contributing factor in the crash. Names of the involved people will be withheld until proper notifications can be made. The crash remains under investigation by the Monroe County Sheriff's Office, the Monroe County Medical Examiner's Office, and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. No further information is released at this time. The Crawford County Sheriff's Office reports that Isabella Vandenberg of Mount Sterling, who had been missing since March 11th after leaving her residence, has been located and is safe. As a result, the missing endangered alert for Isabella has been canceled. A burn ban has been issued for all of Vernon County, effective immediately on behalf of Vernon County Emergency Management and Vernon County Fire Chiefs Association until further notice. There shall be no outdoor burning during this time. This is due to the current situation with extremely dry fire conditions and the wind. This ban will continue until conditions improve. It is Red Cross Month. The Red Cross celebrates the volunteers and blood and platelet donors who are critical to ensuring those in need receive relief and care. You are urged to donate blood or platelets now to continue to strengthen the national blood supply. All blood types, especially those with type O blood, are critical to ensuring hospitals can meet the daily demand for life-saving transfusions. Three blood drives are coming up in the area. The first is today from 9 until 2 at Baraboo High School. The second will be tomorrow from 11:30 until 5:30 at St. John's Gym in Muscadet. The third drive this week will be held Wednesday from 8:30 until 1:30 at Kickapoo High School. To make an appointment to give at any of these blood drives, or any blood drive for that matter, visit redcrossblood.org, download the Red Cross Blood Donor app, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation, Wisconsin DOT, is ending spring thaw and Class 2 road restrictions for the majority of Wisconsin, including Zone 2 through Zone 5. This morning, Zones 3 and 4 covers all of southwest Wisconsin. The restrictions remain in place for far northern Wisconsin until meltwater drains sufficiently. Class 2 roads include about 1,400 miles of state highways susceptible to damage from heavy trucks during the spring thaw period as frost leaves the ground. More information regarding frozen road declarations, Class 2 roadways, and roadway postings can be found on Wisconsin DOT's website. Further information can be found online for divisible load permits and non-divisible load permits. County highways, town roads, city and village streets, weight restrictions are up to local units of government. Don't miss a question and answer session featuring Richland Center mayoral candidates Todd Coppernall and Karen Tepley. Economic Equity Now will host two separate sessions today and tomorrow from 4:30 until 5:30 at the Brewer Public Library in Richland Center in the meeting room downstairs. Today's session will feature incumbent mayor Todd Coppernall. Tomorrow's session will feature alderperson Karen Tepley. You are invited to attend to gain insight into their platforms, priorities, and visions for the city's future. Elected officials in the Marathon County villages of Weston and Rothschild will consider an agreement to merge the Everest Metro and Rothschild Police Departments. Rothschild Administrator Ryan Vandewall says there's already a lot of cooperation and the combined department would benefit both communities. The Weston Village Board will vote on the plan tonight, the Rothschild Board later this month. Vandewall says the new Mountain Bay Metropolitan Police Department would employ about 40 sworn officers. No officers with either department would be reapplying for their jobs, and all would keep their current work as well. WRCO News will continue with a look at the Monday forecast coming up next.
Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Boscobel Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 36, variable clouds this morning and gradual clearing. Still quite cool, partly cloudy and breezy tonight, a low of 26. Tuesday, 52, partly sunny, breezy, and much warmer. Tuesday night, a low of 20. Wednesday, 34. Thursday, 36. Some snow could happen on Thursday night. 2 to 4 inches are possible at this point across the area. Light snow ending in the morning Friday and a high of 37. In Richland Center, yesterday's high was 38. We did receive a few flurries on Sunday. Right now, the winds have picked up a little bit southwesterly at 2 miles per hour, and we are at our overnight low. It is 25 degrees.
Pappas Trading Post in Arena is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission bow retailer. Pappas Trading Post offers you a team of experienced professionals ready to help you get the perfect new bow, crossbow, arrows, or accessories for this season. Pappas team can also tune up your current bow for peak performance when it matters most. And they have a 40-yard indoor range to sharpen your aim. Visit Pappas Trading Post, 2 miles west of Arena on the corner of Highway 14 and H.
Open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday 9 to 5.
The Bloomington Livestock Exchange hosts RedFest Sunday, March 24th. The 2024 Red Angus Sale features over 45 registered bulls, over 200 commercial females, including cows, bred heifers, open heifers. The sale kicks off at 1 p.m. For catalog information, visit redfestsale.com. Online bidding will be available at dvauction.com and cattleusa.com. Mark your calendars now to be part of the 6th annual RedFest Sale at the Bloomington Livestock Exchange, Sunday, March 24th at 1 p.m.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A recap of sports from over the weekend and a look ahead at this week as the Badgers and Marquette both have the NCAA tournaments coming up this weekend.
Kubota has the industry-leading VX Series subcompact tractor. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. VX Tractor is a real tractor in a small package. It is diesel-powered, four-wheel drive, hydrostatic transmission, power steering, allowing a novice to operate it like a pro. It can have a loader, mower, backhoe, and three-point attachments. Kubota has various rebates and great long-term financing. See the full line of Kubota products at the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
It was an exciting boys basketball tournament. Lots of games that came right down to the wire. The championships on Saturday in Division 5, Columbus Catholic got the win against Abundant Life Christian, 81-75. It was also Mineral Point getting a 65-64 win over Kenosha St. Joseph. The Lancers led for only 12 seconds in the game. Nearly at a perfect time, it appeared like they would be the ones to hold on for the win, but Marquette, with Mineral Point, that is, taking no timeouts, hustled down the floor and got a missed three before a rebound putback put them on top. And as a result, Mineral Point will win, was awarded its first championship in its fifth appearance at the state tournament. It had placed second in 1974 Class C and in 2015 in Division 4. Big win for Marquette for Mineral Point over the weekend. Looking at Division 3, it was a win for St. Thomas More over Lakeside Lutheran, 65-54. Wisconsin Lutheran was a winner in Division 2, 83-62 over Pewaukee. And yes, Marquette in Division 1 was a winner against Arrowhead by a score of 84-62. Marquette earned the second seed in the NCAA South Regional and will take on Western Kentucky Friday in the second round. The game will be played in Indianapolis. The Golden Eagles lost the Big East Conference Tournament Championship Saturday to UConn by a score of 73-57. It was the second straight title game appearance for Coach Shaka Smart's team as they move on now to the NCAAs.
We're grateful to be in the tournament. We're excited to be in the tournament. We're not satisfied just to be in it. Looking forward to heading down to Indy this week. I actually know Coach Lutz pretty well from Western Kentucky. He does a heck of a job. We were assistants at the same time for a while, and then he was terrific with Matt Painter at Purdue. So we'll dive in and get to know their team, but you know, more importantly, it's about being the best us.
The Badgers are seeded number 5 in the NCAA tournament and will meet James Madison in the first round Friday in Brooklyn, New York. Wisconsin dropped the championship game of the Big Ten Conference Tournament 93-87 to Illinois the day after upsetting top seed Purdue 76-75. A.J. Storr led the Sunday score sheet with 24 points. The Badgers had led 61-51 midway through the second half. This is Wisconsin's 27th appearance in March Madness. Coach Greg Gard talked about what the tournament means to the Badgers moving forward.
We're leaving here today a much better team than when we came in on Wednesday and started this tournament on Thursday. So we got to the game we wanted to get to. We weren't able to completely get across the finish line, but it doesn't diminish the pride I have in these guys and how they've committed and grown.
Elsewhere in basketball, with Giannis Antetokounmpo resting a sore hamstring, guard Damian Lillard took over Sunday's home game against Phoenix. He scored 31 points and dished out 16 assists in a 140-129 victory. The Bucks connected on 24 three-pointers while moving a game and a half ahead of Cleveland for second place in the Eastern Conference standings. They also had the chance to play Chris Middleton. Damian Lillard talked about what that means.
He looked great to me. You know, he really took his time to make sure he was right. And at our age, how long we've been in this league and how many miles we got on our bodies, you know, we know our bodies and when we should be coming back and going, you know, coming off an injury. And I think he made a great decision to wait all the way up until he felt right. And you can just see that he did everything as far as preparation to get ready to come back too.
Milwaukee with the win yesterday in the NBA. The Packers' defense was much stronger down the stretch as the team qualified for the NFL playoffs following the 2023 season. One reason, says former Green Bay linebacker Devondre Campbell, is that he started ignoring what defensive coordinator Joe Barry was saying. Campbell has signed a new contract with the 49ers. He blasted Barry and other coaches on his staff for the confused, ineffective defensive effort over the last couple of years. Campbell says he became more aggressive, and when teammates joined him, the defense was able to shut down opponents on the way to the postseason. The Brewers were in action yesterday and won a spring game 6-4 over Kansas City. Cubs were winners against Texas 8-6. Also yesterday, Toronto beat Minnesota 9-4, and the White Sox and Oakland tied at 3. That's an update on sports on this Monday morning. I'm Phil Nee.
'Gotta be good to have that communication line open, you know, parents and students, and kind of talking those through and what their interests are and things like that, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. I looked just this week. I think like 72 families had already logged in and looked at their students' course requests, which is, you know, in a building our size. As we work with students, not all the families, not all the student course requests are completed, but 72 of the ones we've done, parents have looked. So great to have parents involved and invested mm-hmm. as well.
And students' interests change, too. I mean, those things can change from year to year, can't they?
They sure can. And we want students also, if they're not sure, to be able to get a taste of everything, to be able to have the opportunity to maybe take some of those classes in our culinary arts programs or our business programs. And if they're not sure, we want them to start trying different things because now's the time to have those opportunities to try.
There are a lot of classes that I hear about. I'm like, I'd like to take that too. Wouldn't you like to be a mouse in the corner for some of those?
Some of them, yes. Yes. And signing kids up for next year, I'm like, oh, I would love to sit in those classes as well. Yeah.
How can the community get involved in college and career readiness at the Richland School District, Sherry?
Well, they are in some ways. We have a lot of people already involved in it. But if there's anybody out there who is interested in showing someone what they do for a living. I mean, that is really a big part of what some students are missing. They don't get to go to work with their parents and see what other people do many times. And or maybe their parents work out of the area or whatever. There's just so many ways that students can really see what people do. So that's one way I would say is truly you have gifts to share. Like, Phil, would you like some students to come spend time with you?
We have, absolutely. and they're welcome anytime. So,
excellent.
Yeah. So do you have classes that actually that have that in the curriculum where they go visit businesses and things like that?
Well, there are some. Like, for example, I know that the business, one of the business classes, was it Business Enterprise, went and visited the Fiserv Forum, and they were able to do like a backstage tour type of thing where they could see some of the workings behind what happens at that facility. So there's so much cool activity, not just in Richland Center, but in the surrounding communities that our teachers are trying to find to get students plugged in and exposed to.
I'm thinking, too, of alumni, Miranda, because I think there are a lot of alumni that have landed in some pretty cool jobs, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So many students go on and come back to Richland County and give back to the community, but so many students go on and land in the state of Wisconsin and surrounding areas. Yeah,
exciting time with the nice weather we've had, too. I'm guessing there's the students are a little squirrely, aren't they, or not?
I mean, I think the month of March and February gets to be a little long for students and teachers, but the nice weather has been great. I see teachers taking their students outside, using those learning opportunities, especially our science classes, getting outside and doing some things. And also, like, our ag department, I know they're working on a lot of things, planting and different things for the spring already. So
taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know that extracurriculars, track practice is underway. There aren't a lot of years where they can get out and practice outside right away, are there, Sherry?
No, and that's what's been amazing, how many cancellations we usually are facing through March and early April. And I think it's looking good. I'm kind of worried about the world in general about how this is going to affect us, and, you know, the dryness and things like that. But boy, when it comes to being able to do activities and plan for the spring, I've always wondered why won't we just wait until April? But hey, March is great this year.
Yeah, it really is. So you don't have to make up any days, do you, this year for school? I don't think so.
No.
I think there were some extra minutes built into our calendar for this year, but yeah, not a lot of snow. So
it's a good problem to have.
Right.
Emily, anything you'd like to add this morning to our conversation?
No, I just want to say sometimes we get comments or questions about what opportunities we offer as far as classes that are related to college and career readiness. And one of the things that we've added this year as a requirement that is, I think, a really kind of common sense requirement that the community has talked a lot about is a financial literacy class. So that's been offered, but this year I think is the first year that it's a requirement, and we're really excited about that. Of course, you know, the students also have opportunities. I've heard from community members before, I heard there's no home ec or family and consumer science classes at the high school. And we just want to let the community know that those classes did come back. I think maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, that program came back to the high school. And so if community members had experiences where maybe they didn't take those classes while they were at the high school, it's, you know, we want to inform them that those classes are back. And Ashley Westerfeldt, who runs some of those classes, is just so amazing with the kids. She really holds the kids to a high standard with those classes, and they work hard and to really understand the science behind cooking. And some of the dishes they come up with are amazing. We see pictures of focaccia bread art or special platings of brownies and different things that they're learning to make in those classes. And they have a lot of fun, of course, as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Life skills, though. Getting
life skills.
Ready.
There were no home ec classes offered in my high school, which was a little funny because it was an all girls high school. And I sort of expected to take some of those classes, but they weren't offered. And I still struggle, Phil, with cooking food every day.
I know I do. I actually had, I think it was middle school, though, junior high, we did that.
But yeah.
I didn't learn much. You know, in the news a lot right now, Sherry, the fact that, you know, numbers are down for college enrollments and things like that. I don't know if it's easier to get in college or not, but certainly there are probably some more openings at some of the top universities, aren't there?
I would think so. I haven't really been following it too much, but I do know that, the restrictions and requirements that they have in place, I don't see it as being as difficult. Maybe Miranda knows more about that, but I think that if a student is considering it and they're worried about that part, they shouldn't. They should at least just try. And if something comes up, usually the colleges are pretty straightforward about what they need you to do. Many times we've heard of students who get accepted into a college, but then the college sees their senior classes and say, you need to get a little more heft into your schedule. before you can start here. So they're pretty conversational with the students to help them be their best so that they can make sure that they can start off on the right foot.
How many credits do you need to graduate Richland Center High School?
You need 26 mm-hmm. credits to graduate.
26. Okay. And some of those students are probably getting that in the first, almost 3 years, aren't they?
Definitely. And that gives students just good opportunities to try those youth apprenticeship programs, try some Southwest Tech classes as they kind of max out of those 26 in the building.
Good information. Thanks, ladies, for coming in today and joining us.
Thank you.
On the show. Thank you. And Emily, thank you again for coordinating this. You do this, and you'll be back next month?
Yep. I really enjoy coming to WRCO.
We enjoy having you. And again, you just want to tell people to get out and vote, right?
Yep, that's right. Get out and vote April 2nd.
Yep. All right. Sounds good. Thanks for joining us today. Emily Dolan, Director of Marketing and Communications for the Richland School District. Sherry Johnson, Director of Curriculum and Instruction. And Miranda Culver, High School Guidance Counselor there at Richland Center High School.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Time for Pratt Chat with Mark Jelenic. Mark, let's talk about funeral music and how that's kind of changed over the years. Everybody is kind of different in their tastes and what they want, aren't they?
Yeah, and how music is played at funerals has really changed over the course of time. When I started, we had an organ at Pratt's. There's a lot of live music. A lot of soloists came, maybe some congregational singers. Not a lot of pre-recorded music or what you might consider popular music. With time, that has also changed as well. You can look at what we are as a society. Less people go to church, so there's not necessarily those same hymns. Some of the contemporary music might fit the person's life a little bit better than the traditional hymns, the Old Rugged Cross, Amazing Grace. Some people really like to still have those, but they might want them sung by, Johnny Cash or Alan Jackson or something along those lines. So recorded music has become a lot more popular as time has gone on. It also gives families more options of musical choices because maybe the singers that they're calling aren't familiar with some of these songs or they're out of their ranges. So music has really changed a lot over the last 20 or 30 years of how we play, what it is. Is it live? Is it recorded? With time, funerals have changed and the music has changed with it.
As someone who has tried to sing before, singing at a funeral, to be honest, is not always the easiest thing to do for a live singer, is it?
No, it's not, because a lot of times the live singer has a personal connection with that person. Maybe it's a grandparent, it's a close relative, it's a friend. So there's a lot more emotion involved than just, I'm just going to sing a song. You're singing a song in a very reverent and important way in remembrance of this person that you love. So singing live at a funeral is tough for a lot of people. Even people that sing a lot say, I can't do it, or I don't want people to be able to see me. Some people have no problem singing in front of people with people being able to look at them. But then when it comes time for a funeral, they may say, I want to stand in the back. I want to stand to the side. I want to stand in a way that no one can see me sing. Sometimes they pre-record that music, and then we can play it. It's still them singing, but there's not the pressure and the emotion of that time when they have to do it for their loved one in front of all their loved ones.
If someone is pre-planning a funeral, pretty important to maybe list some songs that they might like. That'd be very helpful for the family.
Oh, it's incredibly helpful to know which songs that you do want. Do you have specific people that you want to record them? Do you want them live? Do you want them to be congregational? They mean different things to different people. And this is all if you're in the funeral home. Let's say you go to a church. Some churches say, I'll just take the Catholic Church as an example. They say the songs that happen during a funeral mass have to be something that are in the hymnal, not a contemporary songs, popular things on radio. There are ways that we can incorporate that into a funeral of, let's say, a Catholic. We just can't do it during the mass. So there's things that we can pre-plan of, okay, we'd really like this song, but how are we going to do it in the church setting we're in? Do they allow it? do they not allow it?
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes processional, like maybe when the funeral's done, mm-hmm. when they walk out, is that a different story? Then,
it is too? A different story. So if we just stick with Catholics, the big thing at the end of Mass is the priest always said, the Mass has ended, go forth. So technicality there is the Mass has technically ended. So a lot of times that might be a place where we could play a song that's a little more contemporary. It still depends on what it is, if it's going to be allowed or not. And most of the time, you pretty much know if they're going to say yes or no based on what that song is. So there are ways that we can have a discussion of, I really want this specific song, but how do I fit it into the plan that I do have? A couple of problems that we run into with music, with things we do now, is with live streaming. We can record the service, we can live stream it for people to see, but then when we put it up online, some of those contemporary songs, YouTube will block them and say that you cannot play that song because of copyright issues. So the funeral will still be there. Some of the songs are allowed. Some of the songs are not allowed. So sometimes if you watch YouTube videos at our funeral home or other funeral homes, there might be a portion that there is no sound at all, and that's because there was a copyright or a trademark hit against that particular song to be put out on a video.
Interesting. Well, for more information, contact your funeral director, right?
Correct. Yes, we can try to walk you through any questions you might have about songs and how we can fit those musical plans into what you want to have happen.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Today's Pratt Chat has been sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. For answers to the questions you have, call the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service at 608-647-4808 or visit prattfuneralservice.com.
You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.